Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
But I think warp 12 is actually faster than the Star Trek universe allows. So we really can't have warp 12.
Or warp 10. Yeah, warp 10 is warp 10.
I think warp 10 is where the ship starts breaking apart. If you want the ship to start breaking apart, it's really you starting at warp 10, you don't get any faster. Unless you get trans-warp drive. That's
well, they actually went to warp 14 in the original Star Trek after some aliens made modifications to the ship. And I was always thinking to myself, well, how come they never kept those modifications afterwards? You know, after that episode was over, they never went warp 14 again. So,
well, there you go. You know, they forget from one episode to the next. Mike Barra joining
us.
Right. Exploring Mars, Moon, Space Mysteries with Gene and Chris on the Paracast. And we're trying to look at the possible existence of a secret space program where they're doing things, where they're going, where no human has gone before. But none of this gets to the public. Wouldn't you think, though, that politically speaking, the administration would want to say, hey, we are a lot more advanced in space technology than you know about. Doesn't that make us look good? Why keep it a secret?
Well, there's probably lots of reasons to keep it a secret. For one thing, essentially, the core of all this, at the core of it, is unlimited energy. If you have unlimited energy, then it costs you nothing to create anything. Therefore, you have no economy. In other words, the current economy, the current economic system, where there's people, some people at the top, a lot of people in the middle, and a sizable chunk of people at the bottom, that all goes away. So the power structures go away. These people's position of privilege goes away. And, you know, again, that's one of the reasons why Tesla was suppressed back in the early 20th century, is because what he was planning to do was give free energy to everybody. Well, if there's energy's free, you can't charge for it. If you can't charge for it, then it costs nothing to make anything, and therefore everything is free. And that's not really a world that I think the powers that be want to live in. I think they much prefer their world where there is a hierarchy and it's all defined by money.
Okay, but so, I want to ask you also here, do we even assume if there is a secret space program, would the president or the Congress know about it, or is this something that basically they don't have the need to know?
That is an interesting question to which I don't have a really good answer because I don't know, and I haven't directly heard that. It's just one of those things that's completely off the books, off the budgets. Has it been done completely in secret to the point where presidents aren't even informed of it? For 50 years, I don't know. That I've definitely heard that. I think it makes a certain amount of sense. You know, the thing to understand is that the United States essentially is a corporation, and the current president is only the president of the corporation that is the United States. It is not. You can make an argument that there is this whole separate republic that exists out there that's above and a shell around the democracy, and the democracy is sort of a separate corporate entity that's below that. So in that sense, these people, you know, if this, they had this technology, had this sort of wonder world technology, they probably wouldn't include guys like Barack Obama. That makes a certain amount of sense to me. You know, I don't know. I can't give you a solid answer. I think we're just purely speculating. That's one you should talk to people like Andrew Bafiago about because I don't know the answer.
Well, Rich Golan has been touting his idea of a breakaway civilization that has been slowly separating itself from the great unwashed masses in us mere mortals. Mm-hmm. And there is, I think there is some pretty tantalizing hints here and there that would suggest that that may be the case. But it seems to me that, you know, if we're having to do simple things like refurbish the space station by buying, you know, by hiring the Russians to do refurbishing flights and that sort of thing, and resupply flights, it would seem to me that at least they would keep the semblance of some sort of manned program intact rather than just, you know, cut it off at the knees and just have nothing. We don't really have a manned space program anymore. And to me, there's something strange about that. What do you think of that? What do you think of the current mission statement of NASA, or lack of one?
Well, it's pretty disheartening, you know, as somebody who grew up loving space exploration and not really ever trusting NASA, but loving space and space exploration, you know.
You say not trusting NASA. How so?
Well, you know, even as a little kid watching the missions, I always felt like there was stuff that they weren't telling us and stuff that they weren't showing us. And I can think of a couple of incidents. I remember specifically sitting on my living room floor with an earache watching Neil Armstrong take those shadowy, grainy, you know, first steps on the moon. And I remember asking my dad, who was an engineer at Boeing, you know, Dad, how come if we've got a color TV, how come they only have a really crappy black and white camera on the moon? And he said, well, I don't know, because TV signals would get from here to there just fine. So he didn't understand it, and I didn't understand it. And
well, you know, it may have been an issue, though, and you're an engineer and you would understand this. It may have been an issue of the bandwidth. They didn't have the equipment with the bandwidth to project a color image.
It wasn't. Yeah, actually, it wasn't. We looked into this in Dark Mission. They had a color camera. They were ordered to leave it. They had a very advanced, very high-quality color camera on the space on Apollo 11. They were ordered to leave it in the command module. They were not allowed to take it to the surface of the moon. There were protests by scientists within NASA and within the scientific community. Why are we, I know one guy we quoted said, why are we, you know, photographing man's first visit to another world in such a stingy manner? Why aren't we using the most advanced color camera stuff we have? And the reason for that was that they weren't sure whether we'd be able to see anything we weren't supposed to see. And they were very concerned. And in fact, they actually degraded the image. As we now know, they actually sort of deliberately downscanned the image to make it even worse than it was. So no, from the beginning, I didn't really ever trust a lot of things about NASA and just a lot of things that seemed a little bit weird even to a little kid at the time. And you know, the thing is, in terms of our space program today, I can't make any sense of it except in the sort of traditional non-conspiratorial political sense, which is that Barack Obama's a liberal. And liberals have never supported the space program. Walter Mondale tried to kill the space shuttle. They always want to spend money on something else. It's cost thousands of engineers their jobs. You know, one of the best stimuluses I could think of in the last 4 years they could have done would be to accelerate all of the satellite and defense.
Yes, but you're also, it's kind of a contrary thing because John Kennedy, the supposed famous liberal, was the one who proposed the program to send us to the moon before 1970 or by 1970. Also, well, the liberals would want to have government programs to develop scientific and infrastructure projects because that's part of their meme, that they want the government to help boost the economy. So wouldn't that make sense?
Well, that would make a certain amount of sense, except that I would disagree with you about John Kennedy being a liberal. If he was a candidate today, he'd be considered very conservative. He'd definitely be a Republican. He'd definitely be considered conservative. He believed in strong national defense. He believed in tax cuts. He believed in basically all the precepts of Reaganomics. So I don't think he'd be considered a liberal today. And he wasn't really very liberal on social issues until events sort of overtook him. So that's another important thing to remember. But having said that, yeah, you could make that argument that logically the liberal ideology would want to pursue this sort of government control of advanced technology, but you know, they haven't typically operated in that way. They're always looking for ways to cut the budget in order to get votes, at least from my perspective. And I just don't think there's all that many votes for Democrats in the engineering field. Engineers tend to be more conservative. So I think that, you know, when you're looking at projects like that, it's like, well, let's take the money away from there and go spend it on, I don't know, you know, food stamps or something else that they think is going to get them a vote somewhere else. So,
well, maybe so, but if we look at the Republican-controlled Congress, I don't see too many congressmen pushing for an expanded space program. And in looking at the various candidates for president on the Republican side, including Romney, some stuff's mentioned about NASA, but not very much. It doesn't seem to be politically correct, whichever party you're on.
Yeah, it is. It is disheartening. It's one of these things that they bring up in Florida when they want to get, you know, they want to get the Florida vote. But I sincerely do hope that we go back to a manned space program with the next administration. I mean, I really think we should be pushing forward. I really like the Direct 2 concept, which was a project where they were essentially going to take the old space shuttle stuff and put engines on the bottom of the tank and put like an Apollo capsule on top and maybe go to the moon that way. And it would have been cheap and efficient, and we've already developed all the technology, and all of this stuff has just been completely stopped. So I'm with you. I think we should have a manned space program. I think I would like to see a lot of reforms in NASA, and I don't really understand why it's not going forward, because I do think it's a good thing for our country.
And we'll get into more of that, whether we should have a better space program, or if we already have the secret space program, make more of it public. Who knows? We have Mike Barra joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, hey, neighbors, you've seen all those crazy, wacky products on TV. The perfect tortilla, easy covers, hot booties, furniture fix, petty spin, and more. Where do you find all that stuff? You go to asseenontv.com because this is the one-stop source for all of these TV goods advertised. Find all your favorites as seen on TV. Check them out asseenontv.com. And by the way, save 10%. Here's what you do. Use the code SEEN1, S-E-E-N number 1, SEEN1. Go to asseenontv.com to order. Save 10%. Purchase this summer's hottest As Seen on TV items. Save 10%. Or call 1-866-277-3366. 1-866-277-3366. The code SEEN1 to save 10%.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. September 21st, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $1,774.30. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,817.95, $908.97 for a half ounce, or $454.49 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,817.95, $908.97, and $454.49.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Mike Barra joining us this week talking about Mars, Moon, and NASA mysteries with Gene and Chris in the Paracast. What about the rumors that the moon landings were all staged in studios here on Earth and the real stuff is going on all behind the scenes?
Well, I do cover that in Ancient Aliens on the Moon. There's a whole chapter on that. And my position is that they didn't fake anything, that they went to the moon. One of the best quotes I ever heard was Charlie Duke, who was actually the guy, if you remember the famous Apollo 11 landing sequence, he's the voice of Mission Control, that's Charlie Duke, and he later went to the moon himself. And he says, look, you know, if we were going to fake it, fake going to the moon, we went there 9 times. Why would we fake it 9 times? It doesn't make any sense. If you look at the arguments that it was all faked, I think they all just really are very shallow and they fall apart very quickly. I go through a lot of them. I don't deal too much with the newer stuff that people like Jay Widener come up with, because I don't really think they hold up very well either. But I just really haven't seen any evidence that that's the case. I think in most of the stuff that I've looked at, you dig into the arguments, they really aren't very logical and they really don't hold up.
The other thing I do not understand is, if we have this very advanced technology, would it still not make sense, maybe not to release all of it, but release a little bit of it? You know, throw us a few bones here. Say, okay, here's another way of getting to the moon. Show a little advancement, not completely backtracking.
Well, it might, but, you know, again, you're saying to yourself, okay, that's a perspective where you're saying, gosh, the people in charge are benevolent, and they want the best for us. Now, you know, what I hear, the rumors...
Well, I don't know if they want the best for us. They want the best for themselves. Wouldn't that help them?
Right. Well, how? How does that help them, letting people know? I mean, think about it like this. One of the biggest cash cows that's out there right now in the medical industry is cancer treatment. There's no money in a cure for cancer. All the money is in the treatment of cancer. So it's really... in, you know, everybody's best interest, including the insurance companies and doctors and the hospitals and the whole medical industry and the research industry, to not have a cure for cancer. And we really shouldn't, you know, as a government, we shouldn't be paying anything for cancer research or for treatment. What we should be paying for is cures. You know, we should put aside $50 billion. Here, the first company that comes up with a cure for a specific form of cancer that's 100% effective, you get $50 billion. And go at it, guys. I think if we did that, we'd have cures. So, again, you know, you hear things. The people in the Tesla Society say that there was a time when there was different frequency sound waves were used to cure cancer in the 30s. But these technologies always end up getting lost, or they get taken underground, and they're only for the elites. And, again, I think that I just don't see any motivation by these people to release this stuff, especially if it's going to significantly affect the way society has been structured to this point. And I mean, think about it. If people got to die something, and if they didn't die anymore, you know, if most of the diseases were cured, the population of the planet would go out of control. And we know from stuff like the Georgia Guidestones that there's definitely a segment of society in the upper echelons that thinks the planet's already overpopulated, and that's kind of the last thing.
All right, so we have here another conspiracy theory that medical advances are being held back because...
You pulled me into that conspiracy theory.
Well, I mean, it kind of fell into it from the sake of bringing advanced technology public. And
right.
Therefore, suddenly it's the medical industry that they're withholding the secrets of cancer treatment, cure of heart disease, because the drug companies make more money this way. Now, I would have loved if my brother... the late Wallace H. Steinberg, who was very prominent in the healthcare industry in the 70s and 80s, if he survived, maybe he would have had an interesting reaction, because he was part of a venture capital company that financed advanced drug companies.
Well, let me give you an example slightly off of medical that I had personal knowledge of, because when my dad retired, he was one of the world's foremost experts on materials technology for aerospace. He had worked on all of the different material technology and safety in fires for aircraft, basically with the idea that if you're in a crash of a commercial airliner, how do we make sure that your seat doesn't burn you alive, or how do we make sure the fumes don't kill you? And so after he retired, he was invited into a venture capital operation, and it was basically a scientist who had invented a fire retardant material that was completely non-toxic. It was water-based, and you could coat anything in it, and it wouldn't burn. My dad, I remember him coming home and saying, Jesus, Mike, you know, today I saw that we took a 2,000-degree blowtorch to pajamas that we treated in this stuff, and it wouldn't burn. It wouldn't burn at all. And the whole process, they went with about 2 years. My dad was president of the company. They ran through all the tests, all the experiments. They got all the data. And then the guy who owned it shut the whole thing down, completely cut it off, fired everybody, and it all disappeared. And what I think this was again, it was a probably a public thing, probably some sort of secret development of some secret material technology, all done with private capital. It was bought out by the government, and it was made to go away. But the truth is, nobody needs to be burned, because all clothing, every bit of clothing, could be manufactured from this stuff. So there's no reason why, you know, in a fire, anything has to burn. You could embed it in paint. You know, the walls of buildings would not burn. The fires that we saw on 9/11 in two Twin Towers would not have happened. And this was in 1982 this was developed. And I mean, my dad came home, he told me about the test, showed me some of the test data. I was 22 or so at the time. You know, he was just amazed by this stuff that was completely safe, completely non-toxic, and it wouldn't burn. Period. Nothing would burn if it was coated with this stuff or soaked in.
I suppose we could go on with this theory. We can take it further and say, okay, let's talk about free energy, things that can help your car get 100 miles a gallon, that kind of thing. I want to go back, however, to something closer to what we do. Back to the mysteries on Mars and the Moon. Okay. Right. Now, say the face on Mars is genuine. Now, I guess the theory about Mars today is that maybe somewhere in the past, millions of years ago, they had the climate for a more advanced form of life, but as the planet aged, it lost its atmosphere. So how old would these artifacts be?
Well, it depends on when they were built, if they were built before or after the cataclysm. And it really, I think that it could have been very recently, like within a couple of million years, or even, crossing my fingers, less than a million years ago, that Mars experienced whatever catastrophe destroyed all the life that was there, destroyed the civilization that was there, because Mars shows all the evidence of not really being a planet. It's actually a moon of another planet that no longer exists. Dr. Tom Van Flandern called it Planet V or Planet 5. It was sort of what he described, what's now described as a super Earth, a very, very large Earth-like body, and Mars, in fact, was orbiting this body. When that planet exploded or was destroyed, and that's pure speculation, the destruction of that planet shattered Mars with, millions of tons of debris from this violent explosion, ripped away most of the atmosphere and made it essentially uninhabitable. And all the water, very quickly froze. And it's really interesting because, you know, at places like Cydonia, if you look at the infrared images of Cydonia that we covered in Dark Mission, and that I'm going to cover again in Ancient Aliens on Mars next year, there's evidence of a buried city underneath the ice there, that the planet was once just covered in water and very habitable. And
evidence of a buried city. This is where I have to do the break because it is such a great cliffhanger. Evidence of a buried city on Mars. I want to ask more about that. Mike Barra joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
How would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Is there evidence of a buried ancient city on Mars? And implicit in all that, there are lots of other questions I'm going to ask Mike Barra. His latest book is called Ancient Aliens on the Moon. But next year, there's going to be Ancient Aliens on Mars. You're in the PowerCast with Gene and Chris. So, Mike, let's ask the question right here. How do we know there is a buried city on Mars?
Well, back in early 2001, Mars Odyssey 2001 was sent to Mars orbit and got there successfully, and it had on board an infrared camera. And one of the things that Richard and I and other people were very interested to see was, what would this Themis infrared camera show us about the Cydonia region? What would happen once it started to take pictures of this? Because with infrared, what you get is stuff underneath the ground is heated up during the day. And then at night, it glows afterwards with that heat for a while, and this can be picked up by infrared cameras. So you actually get some possible ground penetration of the subsurface below any portion of Mars or any other planet. And it's really very interesting stuff. You can basically tell different compositional elements from this, but not necessarily what they are, but you can tell that one material is different than another. And back during this period, we were very interested in this, and the problem was we didn't really know very much about how to process thermal infrared images. So, and this is a really interesting story, and it goes on for quite a while. So what happened was this guy starts showing up on the old Enterprise mission, Richard Hoagland's website, on his message board, and he starts questioning people and asking them what they know about infrared imaging, and he eventually connects with a guy named Keith Glaney, who is mentioned real prominently in both Ancient Aliens on the Moon and Dark Mission. And starts talking to Keith, and he quickly figures out that Keith is, like, the smartest guy here. Eventually, when it comes time to, we're putting a lot of political pressure through emails and letters and things like that on NASA to take a nighttime infrared image of the Cydonia region, or a series of images, because there's, like, 9 different filters. Eventually, they release this image. Keith takes one look at it, and he says, it's a bunch of crap, and he doesn't download it. And this guy, whose nickname is Bamson, by the way, B-A-M-F, keeps after him and says, come on, you gotta go look at it. Come on, you gotta go look at it. You gotta go look at it. And so finally, at about 10:30 at night one night, Keith goes in and he grabs this high-resolution TIFF and he downloads it. And a few days later, he starts to work on it. And as he works on it, he eventually sees that below Cydonia, underneath the face on Mars and the D&M pyramid and the city and all these other objects that are there, there is this cityscape that comes out. There's this incredible series of streets and bridges and buildings and temples and roads and this incredible stuff that's all over the place. And it's really quite stunning. And when we took a visual image and overlaid that on top of it, it got even more interesting, because that's a technique you can use called luminous layering to actually help everything become more clear. And you see this vast cityscape. The problem is that when we finally release our findings, and Richard was very suspicious about this whole thing beforehand, we discovered that if you go back and you download the image, then it's not the same image. In other words, the teeth got the real data, and then they replaced it with de-res noise-filled images that were not, you could not repeat the work that Keith had done with that new image. There's no way you could repeat it. You would not get the same results. And we quickly figured out that this was all a setup, that they had deliberately leaked the good stuff to Keith, hoping that we would release it. And then they would say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you can't get that. You can't get that result out of this. You must have photoshopped the whole thing. Luckily, we caught them at it before we actually did it. And it turns out, we went back and looked at the Internet Archive, or I did, and it turns out that within an hour of Keith Laney, who had a static IP address, meaning that he was on a cable modem, and anybody could find out who he was. They could say, okay, Keith Laney just came in from this location and downloaded this image. Anybody who downloaded after he downloaded the image within an hour, they replaced his version with their fake doctored version, where you could not get the cityscape out of the image processing. So that was the big controversy of 2002. But again, you know, we stand by what the images show, and they clearly show a vast underground city, which we speculate is buried below a layer of ice. We think that in that area, and probably in the entire northern hemisphere of Mars, is mostly ice, water that was frozen after the catastrophe, and everything below that is just sort of frozen solid, and there's just a thin layer of dust on top of it. So the problem is, it was really interesting, is that in order for us to be able to see the images that we saw, it would have to have meant, essentially, that what was underneath the ice, the lights were still on, that there was power being generated, because the infrared penetration shouldn't have been able to get that deep as we were seeing. We could only see this incredible reflection back if this buried city was still active, or at least still had power. So that was a really stunning thing. It was in Dark Mission. I'm going to cover it again and give some more details on it in the next book. But that's the buried city on Mars. It was really quite a story. And it was really funny because it turned out that this guy Banff, who was in there, turned out to be the assistant and the webmaster for the guy, Dr. Philip Christensen, who was in charge of the famous infrared camera. So he had spent literally 1,000 hours on Richard's website and on his message board trying to find somebody to leak this to.
It's really interesting. That's all news to me. That's something I think our listeners are really going to have a fun time for.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question for you, Mike.
It's in Dark Mission, and it's on the Enterprise Mission website, and it's in Dark Mission also, and it's going to be in the next book, so.
Well, I have a question for you. We've had Dr. John Brandenburg on the program, and last year he came up with a very intriguing observation that roughly stated, he said about 180 million years ago, some sort of planet shattering, possibly a natural occurrence happened, which was some sort of nuclear reaction occurred in the northern hemisphere around the
Mare Acidalia.
Well, he claims that there's a thin layer of radioactivity can be found all over Mars, and there's a hot spot in that particular region. And he said it would take the equivalent of 1 million 1-megaton hydrogen bombs to lay down the concentration of radioactivity there. Have you looked into this claim, and are you familiar with this particular observation of his?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. I don't think it's valid. I think that what you're actually, those explosions that you're talking about, that's the impact of the debris from this planet hitting Mars over and over and over and over again. And again, it's going to be radioactive because, you know, there are heavy radioactive elements in planetary cores and in planetary mantles. You're going to get a lot of uranium, a lot of things like that. So I think what he's really looking at is sort of a variation of Dr. Van Flandern's theme, which is that Mars was, you know, actually damaged in the destruction of this other planet. That's where that comes from, in my opinion.
Well, so uranium, thorium, radioactive mm-hmm. potassium, all this can be released by, you know, catastrophic impact?
If, for instance, the moon was to explode tomorrow and you know, shower the Earth with debris, it would certainly leave layers of all kinds of different materials all over the surface of the Earth, and that would include, presumably, radioactive elements. So, you know, again, all you have to do is have those radioactive elements present in the parent body, and when the planet gets bombarded, when Mars gets bombarded by that, then that accounts for it all. So, you know, again, I think there are some people who want to say the face on Mars has been nuked, and I think that kind of comes from some of Brandenburg's theories, and I got to say I think that's ridiculous. So in terms of Dr. Brandenburg's theory, it's like, you know, it's one or the other, but there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever that Mars was once a moon of a larger planet that has two tidal bulges 180 degrees apart. And we know for a fact that any object in the solar system that has that bulge condition was once in a tidal locked orbital relationship with a much larger body. So,
and we're getting to more of these mysteries and get back to the moon. We'll send everyone to the moon with Alice in a few moments. Mike Barra joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Prices are for base buildings only and may not be available in some areas. This is an alert. If your business or church is building next year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. Call General Steel now for the quality and the price in a pre-engineered steel building that you just can't beat. That's right. General Steel can save you thousands of dollars with a pre-engineered steel building designed for your business or church. What does this mean? How about a 50 by 100-foot building for under $30,000? Don't pay thousands more than you should without calling General Steel first. Call 866-99-STEEL today and save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. Don't let rising steel prices put your project in jeopardy. Call now to lock in your price for 3 months. Call 866-99-STEEL. That's 866-997-8335. Don't spend thousands of dollars more than you should. Call 866-99-STEEL today.
Here it is, another election year. And here you are again, wishing you knew more about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the other amendments, and the Declaration of Independence. But who has the time to study? Wouldn't it be nice if you could simply listen to them? And wouldn't it be great if they came packaged with an index? Yep, an index that lets you go to any part of the founding documents just by punching in a track number on your computer or CD player. What exactly is the Ninth Amendment? Track 10, play. It's that simple. The Founding Documents Collection on audio CD. To get yours now, just go to Amazon.com and type in Founding Documents Collection, CD. For just $19.95 and $3.99 shipping and handling, you'll have the firepower you need to argue from the ultimate facts that form our nation's foundation. Want to be a hero? Get one for you and give another to your local school for Constitution Day. Go to Amazon.com now and type in Founding Documents Collection, CD.
Since 1974, Evelyn Gibson has helped thousands of people live healthier, happier, and more productive lives. Gibsonshealth.com demonstrates, educates, and inspires customers to replace their healthy erosive lifestyles with a health-enhancing one. Now, Gibsonshealth.com is pleased to offer AIM Ready Beet's Pure Juice Powder. Beet juice has long been known as a blood purifier and builder of red blood cells. The American Heart Association says one in three adults has high blood pressure and hypertension. Researchers found that a daily glass of beet juice beats high blood pressure. And not only that, just a teaspoon or two a day of Ready Beets powder increase stamina by 16%. Certainly, drinking beet juice daily is a better solution than most meds with their side effects. Order your fresh, convenient form juice powder of this amazing vegetable called Ready Beets from GibsonsHealth.com. To buy at wholesale prices, call 800-388-6844 or go to GibsonsHealth.com. Gibson's Healthful Living. Since 1974, over 30,000 healthier customers.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
I should have played that recording to the moon, Alice.
Yeah.
We have Mike Barra joining us with Gene and Chris on the Paracast, exploring whether the supposed divesting of Mars from orbiting a planet that no longer exists caused the radioactive levels. Another question that comes here to the legends of advanced civilizations. Would we think maybe if we look at those legends, assuming it was real, we had this larger or fatter Earth planet in our solar system. Mm-hmm. It spawned an advanced civilization. When things turned bad, they went to Earth and leaving us legends of Atlantis, etc. What do you think?
Well, I think it's completely logical. The question is, you know, timing. I mean, the truth is that this will happen to Mars probably happened a couple of million years ago, which really doesn't, you know, it's not really ideal for the placement of modern man, at least in terms of the fossil record. So that's hard for me to necessarily put those two pieces together in terms of the time frame. But we don't know. We don't really know how long it would take for the solar system to calm down after a catastrophic event like that. It could have been 65 million years ago. It could have been 2 million years ago. It could have been a couple hundred thousand years ago. Although logically there'd be a lot more debris around the solar system if it had happened just a couple hundred thousand years ago. But, you know, again, we don't know because we've never really experienced anything like this in human history. So, what I think to me is more interesting, you know, is that the idea that there have been advanced human civilizations before this one. And in my second book, In the Choice, I talked about some of the Hopi legends. There have been three previous worlds of man, but the last one had technologies that were even more advanced than what we have today. And that's what the Hopi legends tell us. And then, you know, in Ancient Aliens on the Moon, I look at these ruins and these buildings that appear to be there, and everything there, it doesn't look very alien to me. You know, the reason why I can believe in this and relate to this stuff is because when I look at these structures, they all make sense to me from a human engineering standpoint. It almost looks like, even though they're enormous and very highly advanced stuff, it almost looks to me like it's human technology. And I wonder if there's a connection there with this previous world of man, this previous human civilization that lived here on Earth that was very advanced, but maybe went to Mars and went to the moon and built these enormous bases. And then the cataclysm or whatever it was destroyed them and force them to either live underground on Mars or eventually come to the Earth or just completely wipe the civilization out and we had to start all over again. So to me, I'm kind of more interested in the legends of the ancients like the Hopis and what and when that third world of man was and what it was like and whether the stuff that we're seeing on the moon necessarily isn't maybe necessarily alien, but only alien in the sense that it's from some other previous earlier version of the human race. You know, it's possible that when Neil Armstrong said, that's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, they actually meant that. And he meant it in the context of, that's one small step for man, this version of the human race, but it's a giant leap for all mankind, this far greater related, you know, human subspecies that maybe has been inhabiting these parts around here for millions of years before. So it's a giant leap for them because we're returning the stars from whence we came.
You bring up the Hopi, Mike, and that I want to just kind of add a little caveat to this here. The Hopi also warned us that if we ever do get to the moon, not to bring mm-hmm. anything back. And
right.
Do you address that in your new book?
Yes. I actually address that more a little bit more in The Choice, where I talk about that. Now, that particular prophecy is not one of necessarily the acknowledged official Hopi prophecies, but it is an additional prophecy that I think was supposedly given by an elder named Whitefeather in about 1960. And I have heard that, and I'm not saying it's not the correct prophecy. I'm just saying it's not part of the canonical Hopi prophecies, as I understand it, but it is
It wasn't a prophecy. It was just a warning that Creator.
A warning.
Yeah, Creator, according to the Hopi, was very, very strict and very upfront about admonishment not to bring anything back from the moon. And some Hopi, even to this day, equate some of our, you know, our really vexing problems here in this current 21st century as being a direct result of bringing artifacts, rocks, and other materials back from the moon.
Yeah, and so where that fits in with ancient aliens on the moon is that there's a chapter in there about Apollo 17. And I think by the time we got into the last lunar mission, manned mission, which was Apollo 17, I think we'd reached a point where we were just looking for stuff. We were looking for stuff to bring back. And it's really fascinating because as you go through the story of, you know, what the astronauts did when they were there, they went to all these very intriguing places. They went to the base of a mountain called the South Massif, which actually was, it's actually hexagonal. It has hexagonal mountain. There's a V-shaped depression or opening that seems to go underneath the thing. And they drove the rover right up to the ridge on top, right above that, parked the rover, and then the camera basically pans away for about 30 minutes and doesn't show you either this depression called Nansen or the astronauts for about 25 or 30 minutes. And we have no idea what they're doing. But there is some interesting transmissions where Gene Cernan says, well, we really haven't been able to look around any more than you've seen. So, of course, the answer is we haven't seen anything. And there are no pictures of this what looks like an entrance underneath this thing. There are no pictures of the inside of it at all. And they did apparently stop and take some other pictures. There's no photographs pointing into this thing. And then they went on to another place, an area called Shorty Crater. And in Shorty Crater, if you look at these panoramas, this is where Richards found this thing that we call Data's Head. And if you look inside the crater, there's all kinds of stuff that as I look at it, I don't see rocks. I see mechanisms. I see mechanisms. I see pumps. I see mechanical debris. And then right in the midst of this is this thing that looks like a head. It looks like a human head. It's the same size as a human head. But as you zoom up on it, it looks more and more like it's mechanical. It almost looks like C-3PO's head. And as you do color enhancement of this, you can see that it has a painted red stripe on the upper lip. And I swear to God, that's what it looks like. The picture's been out there for years. It's in Ancient Aliens on the Moon. I talk about this mission and what they did. And the reality is, what if they brought stuff like that back? Now, what if they could have actually descended into Shorty Crater, picked up Data's head and brought it back? I don't know. But what if it was that? What if it was some sort of mechanism? What if it was the head of a robot? Having something like that, you know, a positronic brain, if you want to use a Star Trek term, what kinds of secrets would something like that hold? And if you were able to decode that technology, And put it to good use the same way we talked about, or put it to some use, the same way they talk about in the Terminator films and so forth, what would we have learned, and would that knowledge itself unbalance the planet in terms of power structures or the physics? You know, what if they brought this thing back, plugged it into a power source, and turned it on? We don't know what would happen.
So, again, you're putting the Hopi the Hopi warning into a really cool context. Maybe it wasn't natural things.
Yeah, I mean, I could actually show you stuff that they could have brought back, that would have been, you know, they would have been able to get in their bags and stuff. But absolutely, I think to my engineer's eye, is absolutely technology. It's absolutely not rocks. So, you know, that to me is an astonishing connection to that Hopi prophecy, and I can't disagree at all with that particular prophecy or warning in that context. We certainly we were kind of going through a chaotic period anyway before we went to the moon, but it seems like things have been even more chaotic afterwards.
Maybe we should go back to the moon and stay there. Who knows? You know,
maybe we should take everything back and drop it back off again.
You know, I have an interesting question that arises. If there was an advanced ancient civilization, the ancient astronauts, mm-hmm. and maybe they lived on the legendary fifth planet before it was destroyed, we wonder where they could have gone. Maybe they coexist with us on Earth, because there is also the theory about crypto-terrestrials. The late Mac Tonies wrote a book. It's not an unusual theory. It goes back even to the days of Richard Shaver and his Deros and Tiros, that we have underground or in some hidden part of our world, and we haven't explored every part of our planet, no matter what they want you to believe, there might be another civilization, an advanced civilization. Maybe our governments know about it and protect them for reasons best known to themselves. And maybe they send out their aircraft every so often, and that aircraft is seen as UFOs. Maybe there's interaction. Maybe we get advanced technology from them, some kind of cross-pollination. Who knows? A lot of theories, a lot of possibilities to consider. We're talking with Mike Barra, and the book is called Ancient Aliens on the Moon. And right now I'm talking about ancient aliens right here on Earth. You're on with Gene and Chris, because you were in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The worst drought in 50 years continues, and the first 6 months of 2012 marks the hottest half year on record. 78% of the Midwest corn belt is in drought conditions. Not only corn, but soy, alfalfa, fruits, vegetables, and wheat are all impacted, raising prices. The cost to feed livestock is forcing farmers and ranchers out of business, blowing up your food prices. The only strategy to counter this is to freeze your food cost at today's prices by getting your own supply of foods from eFoods Direct now. As the price of raw ingredients increases, eFoods will have to raise prices too. Now is the time to get your supply. I recently increased my supply from eFoods Direct because we've all known this was coming. You know about their delicious long-term storable foods. The fact is, you can eat at any time to save money today. And because it stores for 25 years, you're locking in today's prices and avoiding the rising food cost. Don't wait. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.